Right now, collectors in Georgia are toiling away, trying to craft a once-in-a-lifetime Star Wars event. They're getting ready to host more than 150 of the most passionate Star Wars collectors arriving to their region for the May 4th weekend. They've booked the host hotel, arranged panels featuring former Kenner and Nelvana Animation employees who worked on the Star Wars properties, planned collection tours at the homes of the local Georgia Club members, and produced an impressive array of swag and charity items. They've branded the event in a unique and exciting way, and the community is buzzing with anticipation. And the anticipation? It's for Rogue Fun. So what is Rogue Fun? In part one of this series, you and I sat down with three members from the Georgia Alliance of Star Wars Collectors who created the event. Narayan Naik, Jason Wasuko, and Glenn Williams explained the origins of Rogue Fun. They shared what it was like to plan a multi-day gathering of this scale. And they expressed utter shock and joy at the response on the part of the Star Wars community, where tickets for the event sold out in a mere 4 hours and built up a 30 or 40 person waiting list. And now that we've learned a little about what went into making it, I thought you'd be curious to hear about the weekend's itinerary, day by day, and the immense vision our Georgia friends have for it. The scope of the event is massive. It captures everything we love from the best conventions and the best collectors' meetups we've attended in the past. Above all, it blends collecting and connecting in the best possible ways. And it gives us a weekend loose enough for us to carve our own paths, but personal enough to impact us in memorable and profound ways together. This is a deeper look into the making of Rogue Fun. This is part two of a conversation with my friends and fellow Georgia Alliance collectors, Glenn, Narayan, and Jason. This is what we're capable of doing within our Star Wars community. And this is Star Wars Prototypes and Production.
Coruscant to Tatooine, and every planet in between, Star Wars, Prototypes and Production, with your host, David Quinn.
Lord Vader.
It's a trap!
Yes, Master.
We're gonna have company!
I have to stand and fight.
The more you tighten your grip, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
The Force will be with you, always.
So I want to get into the itinerary because I think it's important. I had an understanding of what the itinerary was going to be, a general knowledge. But over the last few days, I've really kind of jumped into it to see what we would be doing. And it sounds fantastic. So the official event begins on Friday, May 3rd. But for anybody arriving the day before, what's the Thursday night activity, Jason?
So in my backyard, I set up an outdoor movie experience. I've got a screen that I've made. I've got a projector. I've got a Bose sound system. And I'll be projecting Rogue One. I'll be serving barbecue pulled pork. We'll have a good time hanging out outside. As long as the weather permits, we'll watch Rogue One. I'll be serving popcorn, freshly popped popcorn, like in the movie theaters. There'll be collection tours. You could just hang out if you want to just hang out in the family room and talk to people you haven't seen in a while. That's fine too. But I just thought if people come in early, you know, this might be a good way to decompress, to hang out, to catch up with people you haven't seen in a while, and an unofficial start to Rogue Fun.
It sounds like a great one, and that movie is fantastic. I think many collectors and fans would consider Rogue One to be probably the best of the Disney era Star Wars films. And you know, of course it fits in perfectly with the theme of the weekend. Okay. And then who's going to be leading the hike?
Jason, you are, right?
Yeah, I think I am. I'll be hiking everybody up Kennesaw Mountain, which is a historical site. It's part of the American Civil War when they came to Atlanta, and there's battles here. You can, once you get to the top, you can see all of downtown Atlanta. You can see Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And so it's an easy mile. And there's a lot of Pokemon stops if you're into Pokemon Go. Just another aspect and another reason why to do the hike. But it's a good hike. It's a great way to get out, and it's even better free.
And so that's going to be at 1 o'clock. Now, Glenn and Ryan, will you be joining us as well?
I can try.
No, you got to go pick up John Celestri.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure Jason's. We've got a list of stuff that I will be doing. So yeah, I guess I'm going to pick up John Celestri at the airport. And
okay. So you'll be there in spirit. That's fine. Yes. We understand. Totally understand. Ryan,
I'll probably be ordering food and actually cleaning up the house last minute.
Okay. And you will be cleaning up the house because you will be essentially hosting the first meetup at a collector's home for Rogue Fun. So when visitors come to the Mos Atlanta Cantina, what can they expect to see, and what can they expect from the evening hangout at your house?
Yeah, so this will be a little different. You know, as we've touched upon before, I've held, you know, the summer social for the club the last few years, but that's usually more of a daytime event. So this is going to be a late afternoon and more evening night event. It's going to be a little less in terms of the summer social is full of activities. There's a lot of competitions that go on. This will have more of a feel of a hangout, a mixer. We'll have the pool will be running in the backyard. There will be dinner provided. We'll also have the both the first floor and the basement will be open for people to mill around and gather and talk and sit and just catch up. And that's really the goal of the Friday night mixer. Of course, they can tour the collection at their leisure, and they can watch some movies in the theater. They can have a nice afternoon and evening swim in the pool, which is heated, and in the hot tub. It's a great time to be in Atlanta in May, which it's not terribly hot yet. It's a little bit after the pollen season is at its height, but there's still a lot of trees that are blooming. There's lots of flowers, and so it's perfect. Usually the temperature is fairly mild, too. At least it hasn't gotten to those super hot temperatures that come July and August. And so hopefully that all cooperates for that event. And I'm looking forward to just relaxing. Of course, I won't be relaxing, but but just catching up with everybody that comes into town. I'm just excited. As we mentioned, Steve Sance, we're so honored to have him come to our event. I'm so thrilled that he'll be coming to my home for the first time, which is incredible. I've had a chance to visit his home and the Rancho Obi-Wan collection, obviously. It's just, I would have never imagined that I would be hosting Steve. But also, it sounds like John Celestri will be inducted into some of the costuming groups, at least I know of, the 501st that night. So that'll be a thrill. I think we're announcing that first time here. But
yep.
Very nice.
And we have a few other little activities planned, but nothing like the organized competitions that we usually do during the summer social. This will be more, again, low-key and relaxing, people just having fun and hanging out as long as they want. You know, they need to go back to the hotel, they can go back, but they can also hang out as late as they want on Friday night. And we'll just enjoy doing the time we have together.
And for those joining Steve and seeing your collection for the first time, or for those who maybe don't know you or have never seen your collection or not familiar with what your areas of focus are, what do you collect? What is your collection like?
It's nothing remarkable.
No, don't be modest. You worked hard to get this collection, sir.
Yes, give us an idea.
So, you know, I've obviously collected since the 90s when a lot of people got back into collecting. So, you know, my collection ranges from both vintage to modern. But in more recent years, in the last, you know, 5-6 years, it's been, you know, pretty much for the most part vintage items, especially focusing on three characters, Boba Fett, the Jedi, and Yoda. So you'll see a lot of collectibles for those three characters in the collection. But I also like dioramas and setting up figures and scenes. You'll see a few floor dioramas, a lot of custom items. I was always one of these people that always wanted to see the characters that I saw in the movie made in action figures. And of course we got a lot of them, but there was so many that we didn't get. And now with the amazing technology and the skill of customizers out there, there's so many great characters that are getting made, even in the old vintage style. So there's a lot of that in the collection that as well. I also focused on Power of the Force and the coins. So you'll see that up on the walls. And of course, swag, which is a big, big kind of inspiration of mine to just, it's for me, swag is about friendships and the people that you get to know and what those little mementos represent about those people. And so that's why I love it. That's why I love creating it. That's why I love exchanging it and giving it out. So there'll be plenty of swag to go around this whole weekend. Plenty at my home, but plenty everywhere else throughout the event as well. We can't have a Georgia event without swag. So at least not while I'm a part of it.
Sure. Well, we know you as the Swag King, of course. You do a phenomenal job with the Georgia Club as well when you do things like the patch set. I think it's, you know, fantastic. The ice cream patch set is of course, you know, one of the, I think, the favorites in the collecting community. Can you, taking the three figures that you focus on, so it's Yoda, Luke Jedi, and Boba Fett, which I'm honestly surprised. I thought you would go for more main characters, but okay, if you like the background ones, that's okay. Could you give us an example of one item of each of those characters that are in your collection currently?
Oh, I always like to ask the tough questions. Let's start with, I guess, Luke Jedi. So one of the things that you'll see and when you come to the collection is there's a couple walls that have all the carded figures for each of these characters, down one hallway. And one thing that always stands out, let's start with Luke Jedi. So one thing that always stands out when on the Luke Jedi wall is, the first thing people are like, why are you collecting so many of the same thing? And of course, as collectors, we know there's always different variations to these card backs and things. So we know all these little kind of minutia about what we collect, but to somebody that's just visiting, they're just seeing, 30, 40 of the same carded figure in front of them. But one that really stands out is there's a miscard on a Bib Fortuna card back of a Luke Jedi. And it's striking because, there's a different colored, background to the figure. So it immediately stands out where all of the other Luke Jedis had this green background. This one is like a Luke Jedi on a yellow background, and it's a different character on the figure, or on the card back. So that's something to look for when you get there, and it's immediately noticeable. It's like the odd man, the ugly duckling in that display. So that's the Luke Jedi piece I'll highlight. For Boba Fett, I'm going to highlight not an official vintage item, but one that it's a custom item. And It's the holiday Boba Fett, because that's somewhat appropriate because Mr. Silvestri is joining us this weekend. And recently someone made a custom version of the Panna Dragon, which is the beast that he rides in the holiday special. And so I have this little custom of Boba Fett in his holiday special colors, and he's riding his Panna Dragon. And I just love that because it's done in the vintage style. And it's like one of those things. It's like you dream somebody would make it officially, but it never happens. But then someone is able to make a custom version that's just as good in quality as any official version. So look out for that Boba Fett riding the Panna Dragon in the cantina. For Yoda, I think one of my favorite Yoda pieces is the Yoda store display, the Vacuform store display. It's such a unique piece. I have it in a nice acrylic case. It's graded. It's a three-dimensional piece, and it's I don't know if I remember it growing up, but it's every time I look at it, I smile because it's just an amazing looking store display. It's got all the textures of Yoda to it there. So that's actually some of those pieces have been moved into the glass cases into the theater. So that's one of them that's in there.
They sound fantastic. I think I was there with you the night that you purchased the Luke. So I actually got to hold the Luke, but I haven't seen your collection yet. So I'm very excited to be there. Okay, so I look forward to checking out Narayan's collection, and that ends Friday. And then for Saturday, the morning is open, I believe, for everybody. And then the ticketed event, that starts at 1:30 with doors opening at 1 o'clock. And it begins right away with a panel. So there are four panels in a row. Glenn, can you give us an idea of what the first panel is? I know that the title is Santa Shop There, Star Wars and the Golden Age of the Sears Wish Book.
Well, that our buddy Jerry Hancock is going to be leading that one. He, believe it or not, he studied Sears. He's a Sears historian. But it's basically going to be going through the wish book and going through how Sears started and drove, because when we were at Christmas time, what did we all look for? It was a Sears wish book. So it's going to be going over that. And
there were Sears exclusives.
Yes, correct? Yes. He'll be going over the exclusives. And there's this building in Atlanta called Ponce that's now Ponce City Market. And that was sort of like the Sears distribution center in Atlanta. So I'm sure he'll be going over that, and the rise and fall basically of Sears.
I like that you guys started the entire event with somebody from the club. And I think that's a really good way of doing it. And with someone as knowledgeable as Jerry too, I mean, it sounds like a very unique panel to kick it off. So you're kicking off right. From there, Narayan, I know you're a big fan of customs and customizers. So the next panel at 2:30 is called Customizing the Galaxy. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. So these are two individuals who've taken my money over the years.
It seems like every week they're taking your money.
Yeah, no, they're actually become two of my very, very good friends. Ryan Shaw is actually one of the first people I met in collector circles, in the hobby. And I think, he was one of the first people I think I reached out to in Rebel Scum to, actually arrange a meetup at Celebration. I learned he was living in Georgia. I had just moved to Georgia, before then, we met actually for the first time at the archive party in Orlando. We'd been talking for a good bit of time before that on the Rebel Scum forums. I was always a big admirer of his work with some of the custom. And I love one of the things that when you see my collection, you'll see how much I love vintage style customs. And both of these guys are incredible sculptors of vintage style customs. And they've taken, that style of customizing to, incredible heights. Gary, I've gotten to know more recently, but he's been around in the hobby for a long time. I believe he was one of the first panelists at the first collecting track in the first celebration. And so I think it was actually Ryan's idea to bring him on to this panel, because initially I think we were just going to have Ryan do this panel because Ryan's based in Georgia. But when you mentioned Gary, I said that's just such a natural fit. And, you know, Gary is right now, he's at the pinnacle of his skill in what he's doing. And anything you see that, you know, on his Toy Weaver, you know, that's his customizing page. You know, when he puts something out, it's like a quality product, you know, both from, you know, sculpting an action figure to the presentation.
Right. And these are not amateurs. These are people, as you said, who are at the top of their skill set and have created some of the most iconic customs for Star Wars action figures.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, both of them, and then they're also both good friends with each other. So I thought it would be incredible to have both of them together on one stage. And this is also a panel that we're unlikely to ever get in an official capacity in a collecting track, just because those things usually will need to be approved by, you know, Lucasfilm and Disney. And customizing, you know, sometimes it can kind of, you know, even though I almost look at it as an art form, you know, there's some aspects to it that maybe, you know, official channels may not necessarily approve of. And so it's sometimes it's hard to see that in an official capacity at an event like Celebration, but that's where we can, you know, fill the gap, because these are artists, and, you know, I just to see their process, and, you know, I've had the privilege of seeing, because they share so many things with me, you know, behind the scenes, but to be able to share that with, you know, an entire audience, you know, and these, you know, there are pieces from both Ryan and created by both Ryan and Gary Weaver that are in some of the best collections around the country, including Rancho Obi-Wan with Steve Sansweet. And so, you know, that speaks to the quality of their work. So I'm sure they're going to be able to, you know, make an appearance and talk about their art form.
I love that you're bringing two of the best and two of the most well-known customizers who do incredible work. A lot of their items look like they belong within the original Kenner run, which is amazing. And I know one of the most iconic ones that's out there is one that Ryan has done, which is the Leia as Jabba's prisoner. He created that a while ago, and it became a fan favorite because the likeness to Leia is so close, and he just did a beautiful job on it. So I'm excited to meet Ryan and Gary. I think they're going to present really well together. So
yeah, we may have a special project from Gary as well. We're revealing the next couple of weeks here.
Okay, all right, that sounds very exciting. So that's at 2:30. Then at 3:30, Jason, if you could tell us about the next one. The title of the panel is called Animating Boba Fett and Beyond, A Conversation with John Silvestri. So we've mentioned John Silvestri's name a few times. I wanted to wait to really explain who he was once we got to this panel. But Jason, take it away.
Sure. John is someone that Narayan met at May the North. That's where the contact was made. And Narayan was able to invite him to come down to Rogue Fun. I believe he lives in Kentucky, but he's an illustrator who's worked on animated shows for years, decades, really. Some of the things he's worked on are like He-Man and She-Ra and Care Bears. But the reason we asked him to come is because he worked on the holiday special. He worked on that animated segment, specifically Boba Fett. So he was like one of the first people to create content around that character and introduce that to the world.
But yeah, he's been an animator for so long, but this is his first U.S. appearance. You know, he obviously already appeared at the incredible Canadian May the North event, where there was a whole Nelvana panel there. But I just felt like someone that, you know, contributed. So, I mean, that's one of the earliest, you know, that is the earliest appearance of Boba Fett. And, you know, not many collectors have had a chance to meet him and hear him. And, you know, I think that it was an easy choice to invite him if he was available, so that so many collectors here could have that privilege of meeting him.
And that panel is moderated by John Waterhouse, who is a Georgia collector. He's just an all-around great guy. He's a radio host. He's an author. He wrote one of the Star Wars Adventures, which is the more animated style comic books. He wrote one of the stories in those. So he knows his stuff, and he's going to make a great panel with John, John Silvestri. I know it's going to work really well.
I'm excited, and I know there are a huge amount of Boba Fett fans who will be excited to see really the first person to help bring him to life in the animated, in animated form for the holiday special. So those three sound fantastic so far. And then the last one before dinner will be at 4:30, and it's authors of Star Wars collecting books. So Glenn, do you have a little bit more that you can share with us on that one?
Yeah, it is actually one of our friends, Rich Allott and Steve Sansweet. They will, Rich did the Vintage Collection Archive book, and is also the founder of Blue Milk, who does a lot of Star Wars books and other books in general, collecting books, actually. And then Steve Sansweet. So they're basic, and who runs at Rancho Obi-Wan. Sorry, I don't want to skip over that. I'm like, we all know who Steve is. I don't need to explain that. But they're just basically going to be having a talk about memorabilia and stories, you know, of Star Wars, and, you know, talking about doing the book and talking about running Rancho.
And don't forget, Paul Harrison will be part of that, too. Paul has contributed to several books, including Steve and Rich's, and he's a contributor to Jedi Temple Archive. So he's pretty well known in the industry as well, or in the hobby.
And he was the editor of the Vintage Collection book, which is amazing. And then, of course, Steve Sansweet, in addition to Rancho Obi-Wan, he has published numerous books that have become, for a lot of us, you know, Bibles of Star Wars collecting. And really, I mean, he produced, I would say, the most important and the earliest book on Star Wars collecting, which was From Concept to Screen to Collectible. And it's just still one of my favorites. And so that's just going to be another amazing panel. So then after that, we have dinner from 5:30 to 7. At 6 o'clock, we have something called the Rogue Fun Variety Show. Now, gentlemen, I have to be honest with you. I have no idea what this is, and I'm so curious to hear what it is.
It's our attempt to put fun in Rogue Fun. It'll be a mixture of games and an auction that's going to benefit Rancho Obi-Wan. We've got a lot of stuff that's been donated, custom-created items. What we're trying to do is raise some funds for Rancho Obi-Wan. They couldn't have their fall gala due to unforeseen circumstances. And so we're just going to help raise those funds since Steve is coming to this event. But we're going to put on a bunch of games. Hopefully we'll have fun. There's going to be chances to win some prizes. And again, it's just us putting fun into Rogue Fun.
Jason has turned us into guinea pigs to all these games. So anytime we show up to put swag together, he's like, hey, I got this game we need to do. And so we've become the guinea pigs. So it's going to be fun, and get ready to be embarrassed and let your guard down and have some fun. So it'll be a very fun variety hour.
It's just to break the monotony of all the panels. And it did just, I think, as we know, it's hard to sit through so many hours of panels, the panels are going to be great, but it's just a way to cut loose a bit. So.
Yeah,
I think that's a really smart idea. Now, you had also mentioned that you are raising money for Rancho Obi-Wan, and I know that there is a project that's happening called the Cantono Project.
We did Cantonos for the ice cream set. What, two celebrations ago? Was it 17 or?
Just so everybody's on the same page, the Camptono is the ice cream maker. I think more recently in The Mandalorian it was given that name, the Camptono. It's essentially that, you know, that white cylindrical object that Will Rowhood is running out of Bespin Cloud City for a few seconds. You see him in one scene, and this has become kind of a fan favorite character, and you know, there's this whole Will Rowhood run that happens at Celebration now, And of course, when the Camtono appeared in The Mandalorian, it kind of boosted all that as well. So when we did our first ice cream set, one of the big sponsor exclusives was, you know, we took an ice cream quart container, just a normal quart container. And we actually, Gary Weaver actually was involved in this, but he casted some tops to make it look like a mini Camtono. And so that was a nice little sponsor gift that we did for the very first ice cream set. And so we, you know, we've obviously, you know, previous things like previous events, there have been different things that have been painted up. There's been obviously a, you know, Darth Vader helmet, stormtrooper helmets that have been painted up, even Darth Vader cases. I think we even did that once for a kind of a artist, you know, artist charity raffle. So we decided, okay, we're doing this ice cream set as a sponsorship thing. Why don't we do an art project as a charity event, as a charity project too? So we made some of these mini Camtonos. We obviously didn't want to do the full size Camtonos because they're very difficult to travel with and take in your suitcase. So these mini Camtonos are, you know, small enough that you can put in your luggage. But we thought, you know, this is kind of a unique item in Star Wars now. So let's see what, you know, let's put the call out to artists and see what they can do with this. And we've been amazed with some of the entries so far, and maybe Jason can go into to some of that. But yeah, so it's an art project for charity.
Yeah, it's a silent auction that will again benefit Rancho Obi-Wan, but the club seems to raise funds for the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, which is a healthcare system here in the city that helps kids through diseases. We unfortunately had a club member who lost his son recently to cancer. So all the funds that we raise through this, 50% of that will go to CHOA, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, in his name as a way to memorialize him a little bit. But we've got so many different artists. We've got, you know, I made one. I'll start with mine. It's inspired by Nintendo. I call it the Camtendo. Glenn's wife did one. It's inspired Tattoo / Day of the Dead. Vicky Bitter's done one, felt, you know, the felt stabbing. She's done one where she's added all these different characters, lightsabers. It just, it looks incredible. And it's tough to see that there's even a paper Camtono underneath it. It looks like it's all made out of fabric. We have a member, Tim, who's made one that looks like Cloud City. He's painted the side of it to look like the cloudscape. And, from the top where the Camtono is, where the actual mixer is for the ice cream maker, instead of Luke's hand falling down the pit at Cloud City, it's Luke's hand holding an ice cream cone. So that one looks great. We've got Robert Wilson, who's made one, which is a maze. And so you'll start from the whole thing is a maze from the bottom of the Camtono to the top. You start from the Millennium Falcon, which he's painted on it. And you can go all the way through this maze to Cloud City. There's only one way to get there. There's a lot of work that went into that. Yeah, Michael Cooper made one. He was inspired by the Ramones. And so he made the Joey Ramono Camtono, which will be awesome when it's completed. So we've got more coming. So it's pretty impressive.
Ryan Shaw is part of this and a few other people. So we can't wait to see what people come up with because each has their own flavor to it and their own kind of special, the artist's special flair.
And that'll be a silent auction. So that'll close at 9 o'clock. People can go up and make their bids. But at 9 o'clock, someone's going to walk by and grab the papers and it's over.
Okay. So that rounds out the Rogue Fun Variety Show. And then at 7 o'clock, we have one more panel, which is called Kenner Stories. So Narayan, can you explain a little bit about who will be presenting and what they'll be talking about?
Sure. So Kenner Stories, one of the great things and one of the, you know, privileges of being a collector is when you can meet kind of the people who made the toys you fell in love with. And we're very privileged that two former Kenner employees that were in significant roles during the Kenner Star Wars era now live in Atlanta. Will be, you know, sharing their stories when they were part of Kenner and part of making Star Wars toys. And Tim Effler, who a lot of us know very well here because he's spoken at other events in Atlanta. He's actually, I've had the privilege of hosting Tim at my home as well in some of the summer socials. He's worked on, he's worked with many lines, not just Star Wars, but, you know, some of the more famous things, Jurassic Park. You know, a lot of people don't know he did the Jurassic Park logo when he was presenting it. And Steven Spielberg called up his PR agent and said, "I think I've got the logo for the movie." So that was a great story to hear from them. But there's going to be a lot more that they're going to share. And Howard Bollinger, who's the other panelist along with Tim, this is his first collector's event. And so he'll be making his first appearance in front of other collectors. He was, I think, let's say he was the president of the sculpting or not.
Yeah. Senior vice president.
Senior vice president. Yeah. So he's an engineer. Yeah, so he, I'm sure he's got incredible stories to tell. And, I think we've already heard some behind the scenes that they having a conversation and they were reminiscing, recently about a lot of different things. So, hopefully this panel will be a very informal panel in terms of they'll just be able to have a conversation with both each other and with the crowd about their experiences and be able to share that. And I think that's amazing to be able to have someone from that era speak to us.
So those are five really amazing panels. Again, Santa's Shop There, Star Wars and the Golden Age of the Sears Wish Book, Customizing the Galaxy, Animating Boba Fett and Beyond, a conversation with John Silvestri, authors of the Star Wars collecting books with Rich Allott, Paul Harrison, and Steve Sansweet, and then Kenner Stories featuring Howard Bollinger and Tim Effler. I think that's going to be amazing. So that ends the panel segment at 8 o'clock. And then from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we have another thing that I'm not exactly sure what we're looking at. I know normally on a Saturday night like this, we've had at the annual and at other events, we have the room sales. And but this time you guys are calling this room salioki. Is that correct?
Yes.
What is room salioki?
So Jason and I, we've always talked, and it's like room sales can get very boring, because there's no you kind of walk around it once or twice, and then you're done unless somebody else shows up. And it's like, what can we do to make this fun, rogue fun? And I think we both kind of thought of it at the same time a little bit, where it's like, we should do karaoke while we're selling stuff. So it's going to be, you're going to have one half is going to be room sales, and then the other half is going to be karaoke.
Okay. Glenn is clearly drunk right now. So, but I guess we'll go with it. That's fine.
I am just really excited about this because I love doing karaoke. And I'm probably the most excited about this evening.
They're going to kick us out.
They can't kick us out because they have weddings here and we're not going to be as loud as a wedding.
Well, it sounds like it could go together as well as orange juice and toothpaste. So I'm looking forward to it. No, but it really, would. it does sound very interesting. And I think at that time of the evening, people will be loose enough that they'll be celebrating and singing.
And plus they won't kick us out because we sold out the hotel, so that we're all going to be, the whole hotel is going to be in that ballroom.
Yes. I think they're very happy with that.
Yes.
I will tell you, and I'm going to make a bold prediction here, but I think that this room sales event is going to be one of the best room sales events we've had in years. I've spoken to a number of collectors who are planning on bringing stuff, the stuff that they're talking about bringing for vintage and modern prototypes and production is pretty jaw dropping, and I know a lot of people are excited. So we also are blessed that we have a lot of prominent collectors and very serious and focused collectors, established ones that have been collecting, again since the 90s, and in someone like Steve Sansweet's case, 70s and 80s, and it's going to be amazing to see what turns up. So this is a question for all three of you: is there anything that you're hoping to pick up at room sales or something that you'd like to see at room sales?
I guess I'll go first. But before we get to one other thing, I think I just want to add about the main program before we pass it on too quickly. We're also having a swag challenge where there's essentially a swag contest, you know, best in swag, and that people will be able to vote, you know, electronically on that. We'll have all the swag displayed, and there's already been an incredible amount of swag that's already been revealed. That and this is for the attendees that are bringing swag, not the official event swag that we're giving out. But it's just to highlight, again, creativity of the people that are coming. And so that's another thing that will be probably during their variety hour. We'll probably present the results for that. And also there is an attendee gift for everybody that has a ticket. We can't reveal that yet, but it's something that is very special. So yeah, back to room sales. Room sales for me is part of it is, you know, searching for, you know, things that you didn't expect. I hardly find anything that necessarily fits exactly into my, you know, focus for room sales, but it's often the stuff that I discover for the first time, you know, and kind of fall in love with at room sales that always is the interesting part of it. But another part of the room sales is just, it's one of the best times to hang out and just talk to. And so it's kind of the end of the night and it's like, you know, the last call at a bar. That's kind of what room sales feels like a lot to me. And you really get to kind of, you know, just let your guard down and just talk to people. So that's what I love about room sales. And it sounds like if we're doing some karaoke, that might be even more.
Yeah, I'm keeping myself open. I'm not like, I'm looking for the XYZ. I'm, you know, if there's something that grabs my attention, I might lean towards that and grab it. If not, you know, I'm just there to put on a good show. And to what Narayan was just saying, there is a courtyard right off of where the event is. So if people feel like that it's too loud in there, they can step outside and have some fresh air and enjoy a quiet moment with friends and hang out. And I think I'll be bopping back and forth in between that. We'll have some good singers, professional singers show up. So I'm excited to hear what they might have to sing. But really, for me, it's going to be like a breath of fresh air. We've pulled it off. It's over. The main event, we've completed it. And I'm just looking forward to relaxing and hanging out with people.
And one thing we should say is room sales is open to anybody. There's no ticket required. So people that maybe not able to get a ticket for the main event, room sales will be open to come in.
Okay. And Glenn, is there anything you're looking for?
I am looking for, this is my white whale, is the Galactic Heroes Phantom that goes inside the Galactic Heroes Ghost. I don't know how many they made. And the only time I've seen it has been on a Toy Fair video. So I don't even know if it exists. But that's what I'm looking for. And pretty much anything that catches my eye. But I know that Galactic Heroes piece will, you know, probably never show up.
You never know. You truly never know. and there are going to be a number of really interesting Hasbro pieces showing up. I can tell you that. I know that for a fact. So you never know.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to seeing the Hasbro stuff. It's always fun to see what shows up at room sales because you never know. You know, you hear the stories from that one celebration where one person brought proof cards and was selling them for pennies on the dollar for what they were going for now. So, you know, if we can have something like that happen at Rogue Fun, that would be amazing. But, you know, it's not 20 years ago.
No, but we do have, I mean, when it comes to modern prototypes, we have some of the really hardcore modern prototype collectors that are showing up. We have some of the vintage Kenner prototype collectors showing up. We have, you know, people who specialize in certain characters and certain lines. So hopefully everyone brings a little bit of something. But Narayan, I think you said it best. It's really, you know, just about the times that we get to spend together. I remember, as I said before, when you picked up your Luke Jedi Miss card, I remember sitting with you in the lobby, kind of away from room sales, and just getting to talk for a while. And you pulled that out of your bag and you surprised me. And it's just that's the moment that I remember. Not necessarily what I saw or some of the items, you know, that popped up, but just having that conversation with you, seeing that surprise of a character that we both love. And so I look forward to those moments. So let's jump to Sunday. And so rounding out the itinerary here, we have what's called the Kennesaw Run. So I know you mentioned it before, but let's see. Jason, let's start with you. So what is, for people who have never traveled down to Georgia and have never taken part in it, what is the Kennesaw Run?
The Kennesaw Run is three homes within 10 miles of one another, Star Wars collectors, Georgia Alliance of Star Wars Collector members, who open their doors, and it's at your luxury. So you can stop at one for, you know, an hour, hang out, and you go to the next one at your leisure. Then you can go to the next one. Each collection is a little bit different and a little bit unique. We all focus on different things. This time around, we're going to be offering a piece of swag. So at each stop, you'll be able to pick up a piece of this swag and assemble a really cool item. It's the Death Star plans from Rogue One. At one stop, you can get this plastic piece that looks like the data set. At another stop, you'll get a special item that will be a digital activation feature. I don't want to go too much into it, trying to keep that one a surprise. And then the final stop will be a Death Star peach sticker. So when you put it all together, it looks like the Death Star plans, but we have our unique spin on it because there is a Death Star peach on it. And it's going to be a cool time.
Okay, so we're going to visit the homes of Tim Connor, Jason Masuko, and Glenn Williams, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Glenn, going to your home, what can a collector expect to see when touring your collection?
I collect a little bit of everything, but as far as you know, what my focus is I'm into Wampas. So my grandkids call me Wampa, so I have a Wampa focus. I've also got a Boba Fett focus, so I've got various different Boba Fett stuff. I've got a little bit of a bootleg ceramic focus also, so I've got a couple of those. I think what's unique about my collection is it's also my wife's collection. So she is also, I've turned her into a collector. So she collects E.T., Gizmo, and Ewoks. So she's got a really nice collection also. So you'll get to see her collection in conjunction with my stuff. So it's definitely a unique, I think a unique experience because it's, you know, a joint collection and I consider myself very lucky that my wife collects because I know there's not, you know, when you find that in somebody and y'all can both enjoy something, it's very, very rare when you both can collect and support each other's habit. So, that's what I think's unique about mine. And I also, I'm a big Bill and Ted guy. So I have a really awesome pre-production Bill and Ted run, from the Kenner, like the, I think early 90s, late 80s Kenner stuff.
Yeah, I think you have one of the largest Bill and Ted runs that I've ever seen, and amazing stuff, really. I mean, it's just you cover almost every piece of the pre-production process. So as far as the Star Wars stuff, can you give us an idea, like maybe two items that are personal favorites of yours?
Right off the top of my head, I have a couple of production, I think there's extra teeth from Wampa from Empire. So I think, you know, they may have made 20 teeth and they used 10 of them. This is the other 10. So it wasn't screen used, but their production teeth for, you know, a prop. That I think is pretty cool. I'm trying to think Boba Fett wise. There's so much, you know, as far as like the Boba Fett run, but I mean, I've got, gosh, you had to, okay. Let's just go totally different. I've got yet again, one of the only, or one of the few complete set of Galactic Heroes Rebels, except for the Phantom, because they didn't produce half of them. So I was very fortunate to be able to put a set, you know, I've got a first shot Ghost, and then I've got the Zeb, the Hera, Sabine, Ezra, and Kanan, and they didn't produce the Zeb, Ezra, I mean, the Zeb came, I'm sorry, I'm so excited about these pieces. It's the Zeb, the Hera, and the Sabine. They didn't produce those. So to have that along with the First Shot Ghost, I think that that's a special place in my collection too.
I was there with you when you bought the Ghost. And that was at another room sales. And it was one of those things that it just, I've never seen another one. It was magical when you picked it up. And to be able to finish a run like that has just been incredible. So I can't wait to see your run in person. I think that's awesome. And to see your wife's collection, you know, with your collection as well, too. I think that's going to be really exciting.
Right.
Jason, so you and I have yet to meet in person. Mm-hmm. We've known each other for years now. And so I'm not only excited to meet you in person and to get to hang out with you, but to also see your collection, you know, and where you live. What type of items and figures do you collect?
I collect a little bit of everything. So for about 10 years, I lived in a Cape in central New York, where there was five of us living in this three-bedroom house. I didn't have any display room. So I was buying a lot of the modern stuff and putting it in totes and putting it in my basement in the hopes that one day I'll be able to put it out on display. So when we moved to Georgia, I have a den that was a baseball themed den when we bought the house. And I was able to put up some board and some hooks and make it feel like a toy store. And so I have a lot of modern stuff. And so at some point I'm gonna have to go through and say, okay, what do I really want to keep? Because for the longest time, like I said, 10 years, it was just all in totes. So I didn't really have a concept of how much stuff I had until I actually had it out on display. But some of the things that, are really special to me. So when I was a kid, I collected Micro Machines, and the Star Wars Micro Machines really spoke to me. And so I've been focusing on that, trying to complete that collection. A lot of the stuff I have open is stuff that I had as a kid. But lately I've been focusing more on the pre-production prototype stuff. And so when people come to my collection, they'll be privy to see some of that kind of cool stuff.
Okay. And is there a piece or two from your prototype collection that you can share with us and kind of tease out?
Yeah. Recently I was just this year able to acquire a it's Action Fleet TIE Interceptor hard copy, which is kind of a special piece because my pre-production run started during COVID when I was like, so many different pieces were becoming available and I wasn't sure what I could focus on or what makes sense for me as a collector. And when some of those Micro Machines started popping up, I'm like, oh, that does make sense because that's what resonates with me the most. And the one thing that I really wanted was a TIE Interceptor just because there's a story associated with that. When my brother and I were collecting those, I don't know if many people know this, but one of the TIE pilots that come with that, you can pop off the head, you can pop off the mask and you can see George Lucas's head underneath. And so they hid this Easter egg in there. But at the time, my brother and I, this is pre-internet, at the time, my brother and I thought it was hilarious. And we thought that we had got like some unique chase or something like that. Like, surely they didn't put this in all of them, but turns out they did.
They did.
So that was one of my favorite pieces. So I always wanted that TIE Interceptor. What's even cooler about that TIE Interceptor, it's a different mold. It's slightly bigger. And I know like in the process of creating these things, they shrink down just to the process of creating the molds and then remolding it and then making changes on that mold. And so I thought initially that might have been the case, but comparing it to the box art, this is the mold that they use for the box art. So obviously when they make these things, it's months in advance before they have a final production version to use for the artwork on the boxes. So this is an early version. It kind of matches that box art, the item that they photograph for those. So that's a cool piece that I have. I also have a couple unproduced pieces for Action Fleet and Micro Machines. I think the other big one that I have a pre-production Salacious Crumb. I'm not exactly sure. It's a vintage Kenner one. I'm not exactly sure what it was for, if it was a tail pull, or if they were just testing out the molds. It does have some sprues between the legs and at the top of the head. So that's one of the cool things that I like about that figure. Not only is it pre-production, but there is pieces from the mold itself, the sprues that are still part of that action figure. So those are still those are pieces that people can look forward to checking out in my collection.
I can't wait to see them. You know, we've done so many Zoom chats over the years that I've seen your collecting room Mm-hmm. But I've never actually been in there. So I am looking forward to that. I did just realize that I have been to your New York house. But I have never, but we've never met. Yes. I dropped something off
right.
to your, yeah. And, but you weren't there. And then, so we haven't met. So I am dying. I've been to the New York house. Now I want to come to the Georgia home and to see your collection. And Narayan, can you share a little bit about what Tim collects?
Yeah. So it's funny when we've all said we collect a little bit of everything. Well, Tim collects everything. it's absolutely incredible. When you see his home, it's wall to wall Star Wars, and not just like, it's not a collect, like the most of us think of, like you visit somebody's Star Wars collection, it's like the collection room or, you know, the collection area. There's not, you know, a single part of his home that's not Star Wars, including the bathrooms, the kitchen, you know, the closets. So it is incredible to see it. You know, so it's, you know, it's just jaw dropping. First time I was there, I was just like, wow. It's like, how do you even make it work? But it's all very tasteful. So it's just an extraordinary sight to see. So that's all I'll say.
It's the Rancho Obi-Wan of the Georgia Alliance of Star Wars collectors.
Well, it's so bad that you open his cabinets and you're like, where are your food? Where's your food? He goes, I eat out. His cabinets are full of, like, you open a cabinet and there's 12 backs sitting in it. And you're like, really, Tim? He's like, yeah, that's where I had to put them. Keep them out the sunlight.
It's fandom and collecting taken to an entirely different level. I love it. It's nice too, because, you know, it sounds like each of you that will be hosting, and so that's the three of you and then and Tim as well, have such different approaches to collecting, different interests, different areas of focus. So, you know, again, you guys are providing a real lot for the collectors like myself who will be coming into the event. Okay, so then that's early in the morning. That's a 3-hour window, I believe, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. where collectors are going to be able to go to, you know, whichever house they want first, you know, and touring all three. And then the Rogue Fun event is going to end with one final event on Sunday afternoon. Glenn, what is that event?
We're going to go bowling. There's a big bowling alley called Bowleroo that's in Kennesaw. It's probably it's basically right across the street from the hotel, but it's like a 6-lane highway basically. So I wouldn't walk there, but we're going to have a couple of hours of bowling, and then we'll have food and drink provided. We'll have I think it's fish, chicken tenders and cheese pizza and unlimited soft drinks and a couple of hours just to sit around and bowl and see, remember the weekend. Talk about the weekend before everybody heads to the airport.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, that is a lot to do in one weekend. It's wonderful. And with so many collectors coming in too, I mean, it really is going to be a truly memorable event. So just now to wrap up, I have a few more questions for you guys. For which one aspect of the weekend are you most excited? So we'll go, Narayan, we'll start with you.
I've said this to you before, but the aspect of the weekend that I'm most looking forward to is the people, because that's, I've always said that, like, there's so much you can do to plan the event, but it's the people that really are the event, because they bring their energy to it, and it's the unique combination of who comes and, you know what they do, and it's that kind of organic spontaneity of the people that attend, which really makes the event memorable. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. We can do all this kind of planning and you know, we obviously want to put on a great event, and we've done so much legwork, and so many people are putting in a lot of efforts behind the scenes to get their presentations ready, and we need to obviously get our collection rooms ready. We've made a lot of swag for the event and so forth, but when it comes down to it, it's the people that make the event, and so that's what I'm looking forward to. There's so many great, amazing people that are on the list of attendees that it's going to be just amazing to have them all in one place. So that's what I'm.
In your home region as well.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Glenn and Jason, good luck beating that one, because I think Narayan nailed it. But Jason, what would be yours? What's one aspect that you're most excited about?
I'm really looking forward to Friday night, jumping off of what Narayan said there. The people. Friday night will be like the one night when I don't have to execute any part of the weekend. I could just sit back, relax. Maybe I'll bring my bathing suit and jump in the pool. But it's really, that's my opportunity to hang out and talk to people where I don't have to be like, oh, sorry, I have to go announce this panel, or, oh, sorry, I have to go, you know, make sure that everyone's okay over there doing whatever they're doing. Friday night's really the night where I can hang out, talk to people, catch up, check in, meet people for the first time. Not only you, there's a couple other collectors that I've seen online several times over the past four years since COVID. And this is my opportunity to meet them and to kind of establish the relationship for the first time, and like friends that I haven't met yet, I'm going to be meeting for the first time Friday night. And that's something I'm really excited about.
It's a really good way of putting it. I love that. And I think that's what we're all excited about and looking forward to, because I know we all have people that we're excited to see again that maybe we haven't seen in a while, close friends that we have, and then other people that we've met, you know, over the course of the pandemic or years ago, and maybe we're just getting to see them for the first time in person. So it's a beautiful thing. Okay, Glenn, man, Narayan and Jason have had two great answers. You got to land this plane.
Eating ice cream. Now, I've got to echo these guys, because I mean, I think we're all at a point in our collection where we're making memories. That's what we're collecting, is the memories. And like Jason said, there's people that because there's the Saturday night group chats, you know, we've made friends over those group chats, and we've never met people. And some of those guys are coming here. So, you know, it's true. I mean, you know, David, you and I, we've met once or twice, but we haven't really got to hang out because it's in a big event, you know, and it's like you're getting pulled in 100 different directions. So, I mean, it definitely is the people. It's meeting people. I'm looking forward, you know, my wife keeps asking me, you know, hey, is other wives coming, because she wants to meet other wives. And, Jason's wife's kind of the same way. And I think my wife's pulling her into the fray. So, you know, it's fun to watch the friendships and the relationships, you know, to nurture the ones we've made, but then also watch it through my wife's eyes and watch her make friends through this. So, I mean, that's, yeah, it's the people, man. I hate to come up with the same answer, but it's the truth.
I think if you were to ask anybody, any collector, I mean, I think they would echo what the three of you have been saying. Glenn, is there somebody specific that you're looking forward to meeting for the first time?
You know, I thought about it, and I mean, if the meeting the first time, I've been, you know, it'd have to be Aaron from the group chats. I mean, you know, he just seems like a cool guy to hang out with, because I mean, we can maybe talk football. I know he likes the Buffalo Bills, but
this is Aaron Longbine,
yeah.
Whom we started calling coleslaw at the last,
right.
at the last annual, because he just ate everybody's plate of coleslaw at some point. So he's a wonderful right. guy. We love him.
Right. I mean, that's truly probably the one of the few people that, luckily enough, I haven't met him, but you know, I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of people in this hobby, and he was like the first name I'm like, yeah, he's the one guy that I haven't really met yet. And yeah, maybe I have to have some coleslaw ready for him.
I think you're really going to enjoy meeting him in person, because he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and we just love him. So he's got a really good heart. That's a really good answer too, because I know from the time that I met him, I mean, it's just every time he's at an event, it always makes it a little more special. So, okay, Jason, let's see. As a final question for you, what do you hope Rogue Fun brings to our friends and our fellow collectors?
Oh, I think if people leave Rogue Fun with a new connection, a new friend, a new perspective on the hobby, I think then it's a successful event. I would love for our members in Georgia to expand their friendship and meet new people. Maybe they make a new connection, which leads them down to getting a new piece for their collection, or maybe they make a new connection that makes a friendship that lasts 20 years. You know, those are the things that I hope come out of Rogue Fun. I hope this is a starting point for a very beautiful friendship.
Well, that's a beautiful sentiment, and really what you and the rest of the group have put together is something that I don't think we'll ever forget. And I think when we look back on our lives, you know, going through the highlights, as far as, you know, our Star Wars community and collecting, I do really think that Rogue One will be one of the standouts. Rogue Fun, sorry, I keep calling it Rogue One. But okay, Narayan, let's see if you can answer this. Why should a Star Wars fan and collector attend Rogue Fun?
Because this is what the best part of Star Wars collecting is. It's about people meeting each other and forming a bond. And it starts with, you know, maybe collecting, and it becomes something more special. It becomes friendship. And it's events like this, which, you know, for some of us, we're seeing each other, you know, for the 50th time. Some of us will meet each other for the very first time at an event like this. And I remember the first time I met you at that same archive party that I remember I met at Ryan Shaw. And so much has happened since then. And it's like, it's those special moments that you can't put a finger on with it happen at these events. There's some kind of magic. And so that's why you should come, because you don't know that you might make a lifelong friend. So this is just the start.
And the potential of that is worth coming alone. I mean, that's just, it's immense when you think of the friendships that all of us have made over the years, just by stepping out and by attending something like a convention, a meetup, an event. And again, I think Rogue Fun is going to be one of those really special ones. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to explain the history of Rogue Fun, for giving us an idea of what we're looking ahead at when we all travel down to Georgia. And you really have some special stuff awaiting us. So, again, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I love all three of you, and I can't wait to see you in person in Georgia.
Thanks for having us on, David. We love you too.
Yeah, thank you. I can't wait.
Likewise, David. First time in Georgia for you.
Here we go.
For joining me for another conversation about Rogue Fun. The event showcases the creativity and abilities of our friends. And at its core, it gives us a number of days to be together, pursuing our common interest of Star Wars and collecting to its fullest. And it's these days that we get to spend in person and in the company of one another that mean the most. As I mentioned in part one, I'm looking forward to seeing some collectors for the first time in weeks or months, and others for the first time in years. And there are still others I'll be meeting for the very first time. And I'd like to thank Jason Wasuko, Glenn Williams, and Narayan Naik for joining me today for this chat. A shared love of Star Wars brought them together to become friends many years ago. Now, they are three of the people running the Georgia Alliance of Star Wars Collectors and making it a positive and exciting hub for meetups, events, and collector trips. And the Georgia Alliance is growing each month and currently has more than 1,300 members. And if you're looking for a great Star Wars podcast, Glenn and Jason are the hosts of Smuggler's Galaxy, a weekly dive into all things Star Wars and collecting. Their friendship is real and is really powerful, and it makes each listen feel like you're spending a day with them. And I think I've shared this before on the podcast, but Narayan was one of the first collectors I met at the archive party at Star Wars Celebration in 2017. He gifted me with swag items when I didn't have any, which allowed me to trade with other collectors and to get to know them that evening. And the love he has for Star Wars swag and for his fellow collectors is immense. And the same can really be said for all three of them. Glenn, Jason, and Orion simply make the hobby a better place, the community more fun, and each has had an impact on my life. They're like brothers to me. And the fact that we're all going to be together in Kennesaw, along with more than 150 of our peers, is an incredible blessing. So here's to the Georgia Alliance. Here's to Rogue Fun and the wonderful weekend ahead. And here's to more conversations and more collector trips on Star Wars, Prototypes, and Production.